That's true. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it. I hope that we have a great conversation.
Absolutely. I wanted to have you on because we are kicking off Mental Health Awareness Month. And
that's right.
Yeah, and man, this has been an interesting year, to say the least. You know, I think the biggest thing, this is my amazing cousin. She's originally from here, but now she's down in Texas doing her thing. I'm so, so incredibly proud of her, and what I'm blessed to know about is ever since my mom got sick, she was like one of the first people to talk to. And she's really helped me to kind of keep sane, to say the least. And, you know, she's just been an amazing support system. And I'm like, thank God my cousin's a therapist. It makes my life a little bit easier, you know, to kind of get through all of this. But being from Chicago, so like what I hear is that when people go to different states, it gets kind of crazy because there's a misconception about how Chicago is. So what is the one misconception that you said that you've gotten being from here and doing work in Texas?
Well, I think overall I think the luxury, if you want to call it that, of being able to do work and training across different states, and that's included, of course, going to school out in D.C., Washington, D.C., being in Georgia, Texas. But I think people tend to think that Chicago is all bad only because it's gotten a reputation of violence because of what people are seeing on TV. And while some of that might be true because of some of the situations that have happened in terms of shootings, it doesn't mean that the entire city is that way. You know, being born and raised in Chicago, I've been exposed to some of the great parts of it, as well as other areas that have a lot less resource. And so what we tend to see on TV tends to be the stuff that gets people's attention quickly. And it's usually those short little tidbits on the news, and it's like that high impact stuff of, oh, Chicago is all violent. And so when people assume that and they meet you, kind of like give you that side eye, like, is this person from that area? And if they are, what does that mean about them? But I guess as it connects to my work, then it becomes, well, what does that mean about your training, and what does that mean about my care, you know?
Right.
And overall, it hasn't been a terrible thing. I don't feel like it's gotten in the way. There's been times when I've met folks who also moved and have been from Chicago, the Illinois area, or from the Midwest, and we've been able to connect on that. But it has been something that comes up sometimes in conversation. But I gotta remind folks that just because you're from Chicago doesn't mean that you can't be wonderful and put out some excellent work.
Absolutely. I think and that's the biggest thing too. Like, I know I work with a lot of different music artists and people that are in radio from around the country, and that's the biggest thing. I think the biggest misconception that I have seen is that, especially when it comes to our music and our culture, is that they all think we're like Chief Keef. I'm like, wait, what? Where did you get this narrative from? Where did you get these lies from? Like, who are you guys talking to? Who do you know that lives there that's telling you this BS? You can't be talking to anyone that lives there because that just makes no sense.
Well, I think it's just people have a limited view. It's just like any other big city is dominated by certain types of big news stories. If you just listen to only that, you're going to miss all the jewels, the gems, and the wonderful things that go on with the city. So I don't let that be a big focus of everything, but I'm using it as an opportunity to educate people a little bit about the different side of a place and to be exposed to somebody who might be a little different than what they would expect would come from a city like that. So we don't let that be a downer in the conversation.
Yes, definitely. So you've been working with mental health for a while. What do you think has been the biggest spike when it comes to young kids and suicides? And do you think it's more bullying? Do you think it's more the schools? Do you think it's a combination of parents not paying attention? Like, what do you think is the biggest component?
Okay, so we have to think about kids and suicide. So one, I always like to be clear about the type of work that I do. So I am considered a psychologist, clinical psychologist, and I work within the health arena.
Right.
And the work that I do, I focus all specifically on adults with cancer, and I work for a large academic medical institution. And so my work, I don't focus on and work specifically with children.
Right.
I have done some work in the past where I did work inpatient for a children's medical center, but there's a lot that's going on with this topic, in part because we are seeing a rise in the amount of African-American children, adults, who are attempting committing suicide than what we've seen before. And so people are wondering, like, what is going on?
Right.
Bullying has been a big piece of the issue, too, because of what we're seeing now in terms of how kids are being treated by their peers and how much access they have to each other.
Right.
There was once a time when, you know, people might say, oh, kids will be kids, and they just have these little times when they just make fun of everybody. And they only do it at school, and then they leave. But now, they're not only just experiencing some of this hostility at school, but that behavior is following them afterwards. We have a rise in our use of social media, and then also with that comes either kids have access to each other that way,
right,
or they're having this need to compare themselves to other kids. And so that definitely affects how they feel socially. You know, when it comes to suicide, I don't think you could just look at one part to say, this is the reason and this is attributing to it.
Right.
Because when you think about suicide itself, in terms of what's underneath, there's also a lot of emotion that's connected to it.
Absolutely.
Feelings of extreme hopelessness, beyond just hopelessness, severe depression, or the feeling that there's nothing that you can control and no one understands and you can't get help.
Definitely.
And so when you take all the factors of the stressors and the limited social support and the emotional, you know, anguish and the lack of access and the misunderstanding, I think that is kind of like that recipe for an unfortunate situation that we started to see. So there's a lot of factors that's there.
Absolutely, you know, and I think you definitely touched on something. You talked about the social media component of everything. I think what a lot of people don't realize, and I'm dealing with this as a grown adult, Jesus Christ, the thing is that social media can be like a telephone. One person says one thing, and it gets twisted, and then it becomes a whole other just complete mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine having to deal with that day after day after day for hundreds of thousands of people. I know all the time people want to talk about celebrities, know they have this perfect life and yada yada yada, and you know, why would they be mad if somebody's bullying them? They're people. That's what I think. There's a misconception. People that are in the spotlight are still people at the end of the day, and they still have to go home, they still have to live their lives outside of off camera, or what's supposed to be off camera. Some of them don't even have a chance to get off camera. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so people are like, well, why would they want to end their lives if they don't think they have a life anymore because they can't do anything? That's where that comes into play. A lot of people,
yeah,
people don't think about that.
And that's why it's important that whenever people notice signs like that, either in a loved one, a friend, colleague, or whomever, then you do have the conversation. I think too often we have people who aren't feeling so good and we are so busy with our own stuff that we just overlook it and we move past, and that person is sitting there and they are hurting and suffering by themselves. So I think the ownership goes both ways, whereas if you're experiencing something like that, that you do reach out, you seek help. Sometimes it could be from just having a conversation with someone you trust to be able to figure out how to get professional help, to be able to have that conversation. Or it could be the other way in which someone might notice, hey, this person's not doing all the things they used to do, or the way that they're acting is a little different. I'm just worried about them. Let me check in on them.
Yes.
And figure out what's happening. Because when people get to that point where they feel like they don't have folks that understand them,
yes,
they have no outlet, and that's when they make decisions or have thoughts that maybe I would be better off not here because no one would care if I wasn't here anyway.
Right. Why do you think, as the African-American community, that going to therapy is so looked down upon? Like, why do you think that's, like, it seems like, it, because from what I've seen, it's getting better now, but definitely back in the day, with nobody wanted to get help. Why do you think that is?
I think because there's, a lot of things that start off with stigma. The stigma about mental health is prevalent for many groups, in the African-American, Black population, as well as outside. The idea of going to talk about things that happen to you emotionally or talking to a stranger is something that many people just can't quite get with. So seeking counseling, talking to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a therapist is just not in a lot of people's regular practice. So with stigma comes a little bit of cultural history and routine. There are some people who may have had access to even a school counselor to be able to talk to them about any problems that come up. And so for them, that counseling has become kind of what they're used to. Or maybe if they were exposed to being able to go to a therapist, a family therapist, sometimes children have been exposed because parents are having difficulty going through divorce, and so that's been, you know, brought in. They have an understanding of what that means. That's something else. But for a lot of folks, they have no idea where to even begin. So the concept of therapy is just completely foreign, and they have no clue. And so what we tend to do with things that we don't understand, we kind of look at it from a distance. We are very slow about approaching it,
yes.
And we just figure that's for somebody else to deal with, and
yes.
It's not me. And the other thing that comes up, too, are concerns about how religiosity and spirituality play in terms of what we want to think of as healing. It's known from research that many members of the African American and Black community tend to be very connected with religion, if not spirituality. And so we find that across the board, people will say, well, I will go to, you know, a pastor, or I go to my church. I will go to someone who I feel is able to provide me with counsel from a spiritual space, because I've been told that if I feel this sadness or this anxiety, then I'm losing faith. So I need to go to a person who I trust that's going to be able to enhance that faith that I feel like I'm losing. Because we have this idea that that's the way in which we need to heal ourselves. And so there's a lot of ways in which we can heal, right? We know that good mental health wellness, and that's why we're talking about this for May,
yes.
comes from having strong, you know, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. And it's not just one way of doing things. But again, going back to what you're used to, your practice and your family, what you've been taught, you might not consider something outside of talking to your pastor. And there's nothing wrong with talking to religious officials, but I think we have to know that there have been other people placed on this earth who have licenses and background training to be able to identify and diagnose and treat mental health disorders, so we have to consider them. I mean, I can go on and on. The other thing is about poverty and lack of access and knowledge about where to go to seek a therapist. So often we know that, like, we have food deserts, we have deserts for mental health community agencies, or we don't have enough counselors to be able to provide help, to where there may be a gap in appointment time. So even if you do go in, maybe trying to have that follow-up won't be as consistent. And just like anything else, you need to have consistency, because if you don't go back right away, you might not go back at all, right? And so we have an absence or a lack of appropriate resources for people, and so they feel you're not able to reach it. Or if it's too far away and I'm driving an hour just to get to this therapist that I don't really have trust in, then maybe I'm not going to be as motivated to continue to go. And the other is, sometimes folks say, in the Black community, I want somebody that looks like me. And we know that we have a very lower percentage of African-American psychologists, psychiatrists, and therapists.
Absolutely.
In the field. And so it's really hard to always have that, as we call it, our provider and our client match. And it doesn't mean that people who are of a different ethnicity or race than you, it's not that they can't provide quality care, but some people may not have that initial connection or feeling that that person's going to understand where they're coming from. And so they're less likely to reach out to a person of a different group. So that's become the issue. Or then we have concerns about the competency. And if there are providers who are from different backgrounds, how well are they able to work with Black population, people of minority backgrounds, or lower income, et cetera. And then the last little factor in this piece, like I said, I could talk forever, is the perceptions of and the actual experience of racism and discrimination. And so I say that because, of course, there are explicit and overt acts in which people have been discriminated against, or are comments are made towards them in which they feel belittled, misunderstood, or that it was in fact racist. And when those things happen, it's like kind of like a black eye for the rest of, you know, the group at that time, or the service at that time. It doesn't mean that everyone believes this way, but people are less likely then to have confidence in a system. And then I say perceptions of, because it leads from actual events occurring, and then now there's perceptions that this is going to happen to me. So there's just a lot that we have to address. We can't just go from one angle, but we have to realize that it's a combination of multiple factors that get in the way from how and why Black folks seek appropriate mental health counsel.
Wow, see, no, but that's very true, and I like the fact that you really touched about the consistency. I know, we're talking on mental health awareness period, so I'll just be very candid. So I have been hospitalized when I was a child, when I was 14, 19, and 20 was the last time, because I learned my lesson. If you're ever at the psychiatric hospital, and you're talking to the person that's the intake worker, if you get upset, just walk away. Don't punch the guy. It doesn't work out too well. It was so crazy because I didn't even know what happened. Like, my mom was like, "Oh, hit me up." I was like, "Why did he look at me weird?" She's like, "You hit him." I was like, "I don't remember that." She's like, "They called everybody. Like, they called everybody." She said they call people off their lunch break. I was like, "Oh, dang on it." So yeah, don't do that. That doesn't work out too well for you. But I will say, like, the I think it was right before I turned 21. What happens when you're with different organizations and different hospitals and different companies when it comes to therapy, the way that it goes is typically they usually have students. So they change out those students all the time. So it's very, very hard to find that consistency. I know for me, oh my God, the last therapist that I had, she was awesome. And then she graduated or whatever, and I had put my trust into her. I haven't talked to one since, because like, this is somebody that I put my trust into, and like, I finally got to open up to someone, and then you gone? Oh, this is not gonna work. And that's what happens with a lot of people, I think. You have to be consistent when it comes to this, because you don't want to explain that over and over again. That's the biggest part for me. Is you don't want to have to keep reliving the situation, with somebody else. Because then you're just because then it becomes a situation of, do you actually care, or are you just here because you're going to check for it? And I have a problem if you don't care about my issue, because I'm coming to you and trusting you and opening up to you, and if you're kind of just like, whatever, and just going on to the next person, that's an issue for me. So I think it's very, very important to have somebody that you trust, that you're able to open up to, so they can help you, because they can't help you if you don't trust them, and that's what a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, that connection is really important. It's like that feeling that I can come and talk to you and tell you my business. And that's the other thing that comes up with like the Black community, is the idea that you're going to talk to a complete stranger and you're going to tell them about the family secrets and what goes on. Oh no, you don't do that, right? So right. We hear a lot of that. And then the other is just knowing that you're sitting in front of somebody that you feel comfortable with, you even feel willing to be vulnerable, because with therapy and with addressing some of your shortcomings, you got to be willing to open up, and you got to be willing to be vulnerable. And it sounds like what you just said, being vulnerable and sharing about a past experience. But what I did want to mention was about the training model. So what many folks might experience in different settings is that there is a trainee of some sort who is under the supervision of a licensed professional. So depending on if this is like a medical center, academic, or counseling, whatever it is, they might have students that are there, right? They might be interns, they might be fellows, residents, et cetera. And they're also trying to learn how to be licensed professionals themselves one day. And so because of the situation, they're going to have students who come in and they do rotations, but they're not there permanently. So it sounds like you had that experience where you may have had the initial evaluation with like the general therapist, but then the student comes, you're talking to them, you're getting things moving, you're feeling like we're connecting. And all of a sudden, they tell you, "Well, I'm going to be leaving now, and so now I'm going to switch you over to someone else." Is that kind of what you were describing?
That's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. Yeah. And I was just like, "I'm sorry, what? What do you mean you're leaving?" And she's like, "We're done." I was like, "I'm sorry, wait, what? But we just started to build something." Like, I was not happy. I broke down. She was like, "Oh, this is not good." She's like, "I promise, the person that comes behind me is going to be just as good." She wasn't. It didn't work, And I think that's where a lot of people get it wrong. And then, like, I know, and it's interesting because we talk about all the time, that Facebook is not your therapist. However, there is a, it's tricky, because on the one hand, you want people to reach out and say something, but on the other hand, you don't want it to just be a situation where you're just constantly doing it for attention and you don't actually have issues. And so it's a very tricky and fine line. But also, you want to make very, when it comes to social media, do not post what you don't want your mama to see. I'm just saying, don't do it, because it never ends well. It never ends well, and then it becomes a situation where now you have to go, now whatever issue you had, you have to go and explain it to more people because you put it out there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you don't want to put something out there that someone can use against you just because you were mad in that moment. If you are upset...
Well, and with that comment, it sounds like thinking about how people use social media to show their hurt spots. And we're starting to see more and more of that, that people feel more comfortable using the platform of their social media account as a place to journal, let's say, yes, out loud, how they're feeling internally. And sometimes those comments that are made are ones where people are raising the eyebrow and wondering, oh, do you need extra support? What's going on? Right. How serious is, might this be? And we don't necessarily want to, you know, make an assumption that this is this person's entire life. It could just be a moment, but you don't know.
Exactly.
Because people just post whatever they want to post, you mm-hmm. know. And I think that's been a hard thing to deal with. I think as a person who's in this profession, to see it sometimes, because of course you can't just intervene all over the place. And for people who are good friends, you want to be able to step in for your friends, but right. then you also want to allow people the space to be able to vent and share what's on their mind and their heart. But I right. think what you're saying is be careful about yes. what you do put out there, because other people are watching mm-hmm. and they're either modeling after you, or people are out there and they're concerned for you, or maybe this is just how you're feeling in a moment, and maybe that's something that you can handle offline
yes.
and get some assistance with, because then you don't feel like that later. And now, because folks have seen what you put out there, mm-hmm. they are making their decisions, their judgments, or whatever you want to call it, about you because of what content that you have put out there when you weren't yes. feeling so well. And I mean, I get it. It's a free world. We can go ahead and post whatever we want. But I think some things should remain private. And some yeah. things, if it gets to a point of serious... a serious situation and you need some support, that you don't do that online.
No,
you don't. Exactly. Help that you need.
Yeah, because like with me, like I didn't, like I, nobody even knew that my mom was sick until I absolutely had to say something. Nobody knew uh-huh. that she passed until after the memorial, as a matter of fact, because of the fact of I didn't want 10,000 people asking questions, or even more so getting to the fact of saying what they can do to quote unquote cure her. That would have just upset me, and there was no reason for all of that. You know, I've seen people that have gone through it, and I'm just like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not having 10,000 people commenting and saying, well, she has to do X, Y, Z, and this, and the third, and this, and oh, didn't you know you could do X, Y, Z, that when there was no way to fix that situation. You know what I'm saying? That's why I handled it the way that I handled it offline. I was very, very candid about when I did say something about it. I said something real quick, because otherwise it would have been a whole bunch of really not nice words. So I was very candid in the way that I approached that situation, you know. And like I said, I am so thankful for you, because my God, this has been one of the hardest experiences that I've ever dealt with. And I actually yeah. just went to a play talking about mental health, and my other friend, Nikki Lynette, shout out to her. We'll talk about that after when we got off the phone, because that play was amazing, and she did the daggone thing. But she lost her mom to cancer almost a couple of years ago, and so I felt every single word that she was talking about. You know what I'm saying? And like, and she was talking about mental health. That's one of the things she's doing now. She's a mental health advocate as well, you know. And I thank you for going into this field, because I know your patients love you. Because aww. You have the most amazing heart. You have a beautiful spirit. And I'm so happy you're on Instagram and you're killing it right now. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my goodness. Mona Robbins 22. Make sure y'all follow her, because she's definitely doing the daggone thing. And, you know, and your personality is just shining through. And, yeah. you know, and you're giving tips and advice like you do in real life. And I think that's what's dope, for people to really get to see what I've known all along, how wonderful you are and how many lives you're changing, how many people you're saving. Like that, like I thank you for that. I thank you for going to that field, because there are so many people that there are so few African American clinical psychologists, you know, and few that really care and really get it. Like, you from the city, you've gone through things, so you're able to relate and help people and genuinely care. And that's what's missing in the medical field, period. It's people who genuinely care and not just there for a check. And you were definitely one of those people that went there to actually help.
And you touched on a couple of things, too, I wanted to say is, well, one, yes, I am now on social media, Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as well. I am on under Mona Robbins 2020, Mona Robbins 2020, two B's in my last name, Robbins. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm doing this because I just wanted to bridge this conversation about mental health and overall physical wellness. So in my field of health psychology, I'm here working with patients to help enhance their quality of life. I mean, a lot of us, all of us are patients. It doesn't matter if you're going to the eye doctor, if you have a primary care physician, whatever it is, you are under the care of someone. And I know we all want to be treated with respect, dignity, and for somebody to see us and appreciate us for who we are and to be able to give us the healing that we need. Now, healing might not always mean having some type of cure, but healing might just mean, you know what? So ever since having a diagnosis, I haven't been able to do things I used to like to do. I just want to get a little bit more energy or feel like I am able to have a little bit of control back into my life. So I sit with my patients and we have these kind of conversations. But I don't think people realize that there are psychologists and therapists out here that are able to help even beyond just about the traditional couch and a chair and a mental health provider. But we're in a lot of different settings. We're in schools, we're in hospitals, you know, we're in community clinics, we're in businesses. And the whole purpose is to be able to strengthen the person that you are. We all want to enjoy the now and living where we are, and we want to be able to continue that going forward. And so the work that I'm doing here, I don't want it just to be in my office in this space. I decided to jump on social media so I could share a lot of the information that I'm also being taught from the patients that I work with. You know, everything that I do, I feel like it helps make me a better person, because as much as I'm sharing interventions, I'm talking about what others might want to consider, I also have to walk that walk and do it myself. And so it's helping to make me a better person, to be able to be more mindful about how I'm spending my time, how I'm using my energy, how I'm setting boundaries and interacting with people I care about around me. So do know that psychology is beyond just what we think of can you read minds, do you see the mind, and how do you feel? It's about overall wellness and making you the best person that you can possibly be.
That is what I need people to understand. It's about the whole person, your mind, your body, and your soul.
That's
I mean, like I said, if you feel that you just cannot handle it and you don't want a burden and you feel it, you don't think that you have anyone to talk to, reach out to a professional. Please reach out to a professional. Reach out to whether it be a hotline or whatever, because someone can help you. But if you don't ask, then nobody even knows anything's wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I mean, there's some resources out there, of course, depending on who's listening. There are some type of facilities where you are, whether it's in your immediate community or somewhere neighboring to you. And I would say to definitely reach out to larger institutions. If you want to get information, NIMH is a great online space to go, National Institute of Mental Health. Thinking about finding information of statistics, knowing about overall disparity, if that's information you want to get. If you're trying to find out about local institutions or organizations, NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, you can go NAMI.org. And again, I'm not sponsoring, do I support necessarily these organizations, but having the knowledge and knowing about them is important. I want to share that with other people. So, you know, do bring up these topics. Let's continue to have this conversation, because sometimes this talk just doesn't happen in multiple settings.
Yes.
Or we just only talk about it when there's a problem. And we shouldn't treat mental health as though it is an illness. Mental health is exactly that. It's your physical, mental well-being and how it's connected all together to help you to continue to move forward. So let's keep this as a normal conversation, because we all could benefit from enhancing our overall mental health.
Yeah, y'all see why she's dope, right? Y'all see why I love her.
Oh, thank
y'all
you.
Y'all see why I love her. Like I said, your patients are so lucky, because they couldn't have had the best. They couldn't have had any better. Trust me. You know,
I appreciate it. I do.
Absolutely, you know. And tell everybody where they can find you one more time, so then you gotta get out of here and get to work. But I do appreciate you taking your time out to come on and talk about this, because it is so important. It is so important. And in this Mental Health Awareness Month, there are so many things that I hope organizations are doing to reach out and help people understand it's okay to not be okay, but you need to tell someone that you're not okay, so they can help you, so that you can get your mind, body, and your soul back in order.
That's right. And I also want to give information out for those that are in the Dallas area. I'm also the president of the Dallas Fort Worth Association of Black Psychologists. You can definitely find us at our website, dfwabpsi.org. So that's dfwabpsi.org. You can find more information about our organization, different types of community outreach and activities that we're involved in. We do meet quarterly, and we're also trying to reach out and provide some information about educational opportunities for students who are wanting to go into the field, so that we can mentor and mold and develop you. So get in touch with us.
Definitely. Thank you, Mona. I absolutely love you. That is Dr. Robin. She is doing some amazing things. Y'all would definitely be hearing from her. Make sure that y'all follow her on Instagram at MonaRobbins2020. And like the Facebook page, facebook.com/MonaRobbins. Alrighty, we're going to get on out of here with her, but we'll be back with some music and some topics. Alrighty, right here is Niger Radio, Winnie C Underground, your music, your station. Let's go.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Give me the green and I'm ready to go. I got that paper, I'm ready to blow. Puns are a pistol like steady aim hold. Lines be the dope, it's straight through your nose. Smell what I'm cooking, the real is exposed. They say lady rappers were there, we arose. Murder, she wrote. Angela Lansbury quote. Drama, hand me a phone. West Coast with a chopper like Jesse James shows. But I'm from the shy, I'm the female D-Rose. Slam dunk with the verses, have hope with the pros. Rebound with your girl, then free throw with the bro. Respect me, your Elsa, Anna, your froze. Sing at the top of my lungs, let it go. A queen of my queens, don't hand me my throne. I'm damaging shows and ravaging folks. Sometimes I'm a beauty, sometimes I'm a beast. On weekdays I fast, on weekends I feast. On delicate rappers like delicacies. My favorite cuisine, sour MC. So serve me a platter with more recipes. Bring your best batter, I splatter your team. I scatter your thoughts and shatter your dreams. Nightmare pastry. Inception scene. Hollywood Heights, my crop is the cream. Make over, take over, I'm every extreme. Don't stay at my ring, go blind off the gleam. Check out my status on Google or Bing. Read all that's listed. You cannot miss this. Humble Pop misfit. Hip hop some sick shit. Yeah, I ripped it. Wait, did I flip it? While you get with it, I'll check my lip. My day. Diva. My Saint Germain, my Ruby Woo, my power suit, my Lady Danger, my heroine, my dark side, my MAC red, my pink plaid, my up amp, lipstick. Too many tried, pass me by, I got more speeds than a stick shift. I swing my thighs, my hips don't lie, I know you wanna get in this, but don't you get it twisted. Off the dome is scripted, I'll chew you up and spit you out without smearing my lipstick. I am the stone, you just saw a Moretto. Think he my main, but he only my hevel. Love him in lingo, bango, presto. He say he's staying around, I'm the best though. My bravado, staccato, the best flow. Pink bravado, cause I am so special. Girls are rapping me, Lucy and Atto. Matching lipstick, I'm boosting, so let's go. Macking up in my Mac Milamo. While these dudes steady proof that they stooges. Larry and Curly and Mo. I'm all about bass, but I'm also about trouble. My music's my cause, but I'm still a rebel. I'm never a product, so I'm not the devil. But I can raise hell to inferno level. Mirror broke mirror upon a rig, what? Who is the realest in the list of all? Who wears a dress and goes down to the bar? With no glass slippers, but sneakers of all. Colors and patterns, no laces, no flaws. Walks up to the bar and orders it tall. Glass of Long Island, I see with no straw. Stares with a finger, then starts up a brawl. Fashion and threshing with verbal assaults. I'm off like a sailor, but lips like hip-hop. Smashing and crushing with vocal revolt. Run the concordance, I rise if you fall. Taste how I spit this. Way that I twist this. No spread princess. Not a short quick pick. Don't you dismiss this. I feel you'll miss this. Don't you do quick lips. I'll check my lips. My crimson. All fired up. My pretty please, my please me, my high tea, my fabulous, my film noir, my double shot, my flesh pop, my hot gossip. Too many tried, pass me by, I got more speeds than a stick shift. I swing my thighs, my hips don't lie, I know you wanna get in this, but don't you get it twisted. Off the dome is scripted, I'll chew you up, then spit you out without smearing my lipstick. Boss get you drunk, be the coffee to wake, get cream of the crop, don't let anyone cake. A easy flow of it, my verses will bake you like my sex Kobe, Los Angeles Lakers. Dribble a riddle like Coca, I fake you. Come back around, go to town and I shake you. Go for the layup, you buckle, I break you. So get your weight up, but Wheaties are quick. And really, when I wanna spit it fast, I can. Feminist, twist, twist, that shit like, damn. I do it for the people talking out the brand, damn. For the kids in college cooking ramen with spam. I do it for my city, do it for my fam. I do it for the women, do it for my grams. I do it for the youth buying over land. Like cheese, teeth, bang, bang. Sit in the middle of a little lago in Chicago. You sunk to the bottom, I don't want a cargo. I'm not alone, I'm a ranger, I'm Tonto. My flow timeless right now like pronto. Stock Colosso, abstract Picasso. Years obscuring, old like a fossil. Shake your desk, y'all. Come to my art show. My verse is framed, I'm displaying a hostel. Vengan y vean, pa' que todo crean. Mi cuento lo escribo, pa' que todo lean. La reina del barrio lo tiene al diario. En paseo boricua mientras se pasean. I'm multilingüistic. My flow's futuristic. My code is encrypted. So hackers can't get shit. If you're masochistic, the pain is inflicted. And as you bear witness, I'll check my lipstick. My sexy kid, lipstick. My honey love, lipstick. My violeta, my freshman rock, and my Russian red, lipstick. My lickable, lipstick. My candy young, lipstick. My bombshell, my angel, my sweet and sour. Too many try to pass me by, I got more speeds than a stick shift. I swing my thighs, my hips don't lie, I know you wanna get in this. But don't you get it twisted, off the dome and scripted. I'll chew you up, then spit you out without smearing my lipstick. But don't you get it twisted, off the dome and scripted. I'll chew you up, then spit you out without smearing my lipstick.
Thank you.
you got your 70-inch TV installed with a soundbar so the entire world can hear the Super Bowl. Are you happy now?
Well, I mean, come on. It's the biggest game of the year. It's not like I'm overdoing it.
Cool. So I'm just glad I grabbed my earplugs so that at least one of us can hear tomorrow. So what time is the food coming?
Food. Right. We forgot to grab the snacks.
Hold up. You're telling me you bought a big screen TV with a soundbar, Limarita, Coronas, but you forgot food?
Well,
That's it. Get off Instagram and give me the tablet.
Hey.
Hello. I'm ordering from Grubhub. That way I can get my spinach pizza and wings. You can get your burger and fries and nachos and sandwiches for the guys. All in one place.
Thank goodness for www.grubhub.com.
Just cuddle season. Thought we did it all, had it all. Thought we make it all four seasons. And then one day you stayed away, couldn't sleep. Had a feeling you was creeping. And now I'm gone cause you're wrong. Just in time for something you was tweaking. I called all my girls, cause tonight we about to twerk and turn the club up. We lit in this, we about to turn the party to a freak, Nick. We're living our life, even if it's just for one night. I don't want your number, but I had a good time, baby. We say your food season. We don't do much, but so what these? We don't love these. We just so what these? So what these? These. We don't do much, but so what these? We don't love these niggas. These niggas. We say your fuck these niggas. We don't do much, but so what these niggas? We don't love these niggas. We just so what these niggas, these niggas. We don't do much, but so what these. We don't love these.
Driving these niggas. Me insane, boy, the shit you play, it's not a game in any way. But now I'm going away, hey, and you're begging and pleading for me to stay, but it's too late. Girls, tonight we about to twerk and turn the club up. We lit in this, we about to turn the party to a freak, Nick. We're living our life, even if it's just one night. Keep it right, keep it tight. Don't want your number, but I had a good time, baby. Baby.
We're saying food season. We don't do much, but so what these? We don't love these. We just so what these? So what these? These. We don't do much.
Soul from me. I let the story be told. I came through with a flow much cooler than cold. I fill it up, run it right back. It's like that. Spin it up in one night, get it right back. That's what we all do. Ice cold, slip slow, that's fine. Hand is wet, show sweat, not mine. Little top, show it all, unwind. Summer, 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 time. Bang, bang, biggie, giddy, giddy. When I get that, chop that. You can't kick it when I come back. Ayy, put the drink in the cup. Ayy, get so low cup.
Drink up, drink up. white cup. Scream it out how the night turned up. Model chick, that's solo cup. Mommy probably mad cause she all grown up. Thirsty fiending for it like an addict. Take a sip, I wish I got to have it. Rub me right the back, she got the fattest.
Rub me right the back, she got the fattest.
Ice cold, slip slow, that's fine. Hands wet, show sweat, not mine. No top, show it all, unwind. Summer, 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 time. Bang, 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 diggy, 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 diggy. When I get down, chop that DK, kick it when I come back. Hey, got the drink in the cup. Hey, it's so low cut. Is she gonna bang it up for me? Is she gonna count it all for me? And I sauce and I drip like me. You can't bring my stripes. You can't bring my stripes. You can't bring my stripes. I ain't perfect, no, no, no. Can't love you. Cause I do too, too. I can't judge you, no, no, no. It's raining bands. I made her dance.
Where are your shoes?
Yep, I'm talking to you. You're getting hungry. Very hungry. Your mouth is watering. You have a craving. A craving for Doritos. A craving for crunchy tacos. Well, have I got the treat for you. You have got to try the Taco Bell Dorito Shell Tacos. Grab your favorite flavor. Ranch, nacho cheese, flamas, and now introducing guacamole. But you only have a limited time, so grab yours now, and I mean right now. Taco Bell guacamole Doritos tacos at participating stores for a limited time. Think outside the bun and
live mass. Hey, what's up? It's Anaya. It's Shore Radio right here. I want to see Underground, your music, your station. So,